Shalom Aleichem. For Parshas Bamidbar, we'll have 5 Divrei Torah, Yirtzeh Hashem. Parshas Bamidbar, the first Parsha in Sefer Bamidbar, has a discussion of a census of Klal Yisrael. So we count each of the Shvatim, how many people were in each of the Shvatim, and we also count the Levim later on in the Parsha. And there's a discussion of the Nesim. Each of the Shvatim, each of the tribes, has its own leader, effectively, its own prince, or its own governor, we could say. And there's a discussion also of the formation of the encampment of the Shvatim around the Mishkan, which was in the middle. We are going to start with Dvar Torah number 1, a reference, a discussion of the Nesim. It says in the first parak, Pasuk Dalet, Ish Rosh Lebeis Avosav Hu, who was the Nazi, who was a man. He's a leader of his father's household. And the Haram Chafetz says as follows. He brings a discussion between two people who were fighting. And with this discussion, he's going to explain what is going on exactly with the language of our Pasuk, Ish Rosh Lebeis Avosav Hu. Each of these Nesim, the tribe leaders, was the head of their household. So he says these two people, they were fighting, they were throwing insults one at the other. And one says as follows, Ein lecha kol yichus. You have no yichus. You have no great ancestors that you come after. You have no proper yichus lineage. That's what one said to the other. And the other responded as follows, Amnam yuchasat, I acknowledge, indeed, you do have yichus. However, at you is where the yichus ends. In other words, there was yichus before you, but it came to a stop with you. However, when it comes to me, the yichus is just starting. And that's quite an insult to be throwing at each other. You don't have yichus. But the second response was very powerful. I may not have yichus, is what he's saying, but I am starting my own yichus from here on out, which you are not able to do. And based on that, the Ram Chafetz says that's what's going on in this pasuk. It's a tremendous compliment to each of the Nesim. Why were they chosen as leaders of the respective Shvatim of their tribes? Because each of them had yichus because of himself. He generated, he initiated, he instituted. Each of them instituted their own yichus. They were just such amazing people that even if they didn't come from yichus before them, but it starts right here, and that's what trickled down to their families in the future. And that's what he says, Ish Rosh Lebeis. He was the start, the beginning of his house. He was the beginning of the family. The yichus starts here. The beauty, the splendor of each started right there. And that's what created the yichus for each of the families. And obviously, each of us has that task, whether we have yichus or not, but we should be trying to create our own yichus going forward for ourselves, for our friends, for our families, for all generations. We are moving forward to Dvar Torah number 2. It's on the same pasuk, Ish Rosh Lebeis Avosav, and it goes as follows, that the way of the land oftentimes is when somebody achieves power, gets to power, and it could be somebody who is running a nation or running a large corporation, or it could be somebody who's managing a store. It doesn't have to be something huge. It can be something small. Somebody who has only one employee working for them. It could be anything. But oftentimes when somebody is given power, given authority and power, it corrupts. As the phrase goes, power corrupts. Oftentimes you put somebody in a position of power, it could very well be it goes to the head, or it could be that there were problems to start with, and that's why they wanted power, and that only multiplies the problems. And an example that's brought down was Yeravam ben Nevat. Who was Yeravam ben Nevat? So when there was a split in the kingdom, originally there was all of 12 tribes were under Shaul HaMelech and David HaMelech and Shlomo, and then there was a split between the Shvatim of Yehuda, it's called Yehuda, but included Binyamin as well, and the Aseres HaShvatim, the other 10 Shvatim. And the first king of the 10 tribes was Yeravam ben Nevat. Initially, Yeravam ben Nevat was a tzaddik. He even gave tochacha to Shlomo HaMelech. You're not doing things right, etc. He gave tochacha to Shlomo. He was a great man. But when he was appointed to be the manig, when he was appointed to be the melech of 10 Shvatim, it got to his head significantly, and he became a significant sinner, a chote, umachti. He did terrible things, and he really caused a lot of sins in Klal Yisrael. Thought of to be one of the worst people in history of Klal Yisrael. There's Yeravam ben Nevat, and afterward there was another king, Achav. And they were really the seminal examples of people who did terrible things for themselves and for others. So we see here this concept of power corrupts, but On the other hand, the Torah is giving edus. This is what the Danmi Daniel says. The Torah in our pasuk, ish, rosh, lebeis, avos of who. That word at the end especially, who, him, his essence. The Torah is telling us that each of these individuals who were appointed as the Nesim, they stayed who they were before power, during power, after power. There was no corruption because they were given responsibility and authority. That's what it is. With the who, at the end of there, ish, rosh, lebeis, avos of who. Who is this individual? This person maintained who he was regardless of the power. He was the same person in essence. His essence was the same. His nature was the same, both before and after his appointment as the Nasi. We are now moving forward to Dvar Torah number 3. It's the same parak, but we jump many psukim to Pasuk Nun Gimbal, a famous pasuk talking about the appointment of the Levim to safeguard the Mishkan, to watch the Mishkan, to safeguard it. It says as follows, Shamru Alevim es Mishmeres Mishkan Haedus. It was Levim who were appointed with this task of guarding the Mishkan. And in fact, when it came to the Levim, the appointment was when they were even a month old. In fact, why a month? There's a concept in halacha that a child is really only considered a ben kayama, a viable being, at 1 month. So it's by default, it's a technicality that we're starting at a month. Truth be told, it would be all the way from zero, but we just have to wait for a month to ensure that the baby is viable. So Levim, they are appointed from a month old, from infancy, to be Shomrei Mishmeres HaKodesh, to be the guards, to be watching the Mishkan. This doesn't seem to make any sense, because you can't have an infant, a month old, that is guarding something. That is not going to be a very effective way at guarding something. That's the question of the Avnei Ozel. And he responds as follows. He says, the Shmira, the protection that we're talking about by the Levim, protecting the Mishkan, we are not talking about they're standing there with guns on guard, militarily protecting the Mishkan. That is not what the task, the responsibility of the Levim was. Rather, it was a ruchnias position. It was a spiritual position, a spiritual appointment, a spiritual responsibility that they had. It wasn't that they were standing there guarding with the strength of their bodies and the weapons that they had, but rather it was their kedusha. It was the level of the ruchnias, and that's what they had to do. And accordingly, when it comes to that type of protection, we indeed can be mechanech. We can educate young children, even from a very young age, even from infancy, if they're in an environment of kedusha. Indeed, it will impact and inspire them as well. And accordingly, he says that Vishamru Levim es Mishmeres Mishkan Haedus, it was Levim, even the tiny Levim, were appointed for this responsibility. It's not that they were acting as soldiers, but they were there to inspire and protect the spirituality and uplift Klal Yisrael as the protectors of the Ruchnias and not the Gashmias. And the Avnei Ozel goes on to say that those people who think that the protection of Klal Yisrael is only because we have soldiers, we have a military. He's not necessarily talking about the land of Israel today, but it applies the same. If you think that it is only because of the soldiers and the tanks and the airplanes and etc., and not because of the Kedusha as well of Klal Yisrael and our spirituality, who we are, our adherence to the Torah and mitzvahs, that is a real mistake. We need both. We need military, certainly, but that is never going to be sufficient for Klal Yisrael. We are the smallest, or one of the smallest of nations nowadays, a tiny nation amongst a bunch of enemies, and it's not sufficient to have military might. Indeed, it needs to be accompanied by learning and Shmiras HaMitzvahs. That is the concept of Shamru HaLevim. As Mishmeres Mishkan Haedus, not military alone, we need the real Shmira, which is Ruchnias, as well. We are now moving forward to Dvar Torah number 4, and we're actually going to go to the Haftorah from Hoshea Beis, and there's a very famous pasuk here. It's right at the beginning, and it says, V'hayam Mispar B'nei Yisrael Kachol Hayam. The number of Klal Yisrael is going to be like the sand in the sea, Asher Lo Yimad V'lo Yisaper, that cannot be measured. It cannot be counted. And the Gemara in Yuma says this seems to be a stira, contradiction in our pasuk. On the one hand, it starts out by saying, Vahayami Spar B'nei Yisrael, as if they can be counted. They can be counted. On the other hand, later on, we say, Lo Yima V'lo Yisaber, that they cannot be measured and they cannot be counted. So the Gemara reconciles this as follows. When it says that Vahayami Spar B'nei Yisrael, that they can be counted, that is a limitation. That is talking about when Klal Yisrael is not doing the Ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When we are not doing the Ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that is when we are limited. We can be counted because we are just a few in number. On the other hand, when we are unable to be counted, we can't be measured, we can't be counted, we are unlimited. That is talking about when we do the Ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When we are doing the right thing, that is when we are a multitude. So the question is asked from one of the Chachmei HaMusar. He says, this doesn't seem to make any sense. We are not adhering to what we should be doing. We are not doing the Ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ratzon HaShel Makom. We are few. And immediately, if we start doing the Ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, boom, our numbers multiply significantly, a huge multiplier. Right after that, that we become so many. How is that possible? So he says as follows. He says the following concept. You can see that there's certain individuals, certain people, that qualitatively they are so unbelievable that they are equal to numerous, even hundreds, thousands of people. You simply have certain individuals, rare, but certain individuals that they are just so powerful. Not meaning powerful, but they're such wonderful. They have such skills. They have such amazing ways about them, in their ability to interact with others, or they have such kochos, such skills and abilities that they can be worth thousands and thousands of people. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu was. Chazal say about Moshe Rabbeinu, Shehaya Shakol Keneged Kol Yisrael, he was equal to all Klal Yisrael. Similarly, when it comes to Yair ben Menashe, the Gemara in Baba Basra says that he was equal to the majority of the Sanhedrin. That's how great he was. And that is what Chazal are telling us in this pasuk. When Chazal tell us that when Klal Yisrael are not doing the Ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that we are limited in numbers, that is when we're limited, we have few numbers, but when does something change? When we do the Ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that we can't be measured, we can't be counted, it's not going to be a quantitative change, how many Jews there are, that there's going to be a multiplier, but it's talking about the qualitative change. That Klal Yisrael, when we do the Ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, on a quality perspective, we are so exponential, we are so invaluable, we are so incredible that we cannot be measured and we cannot be counted. And accordingly, that is what this pasuk is telling us. Vayamis Rabbanei Yisrael, when are we limited? When can we be counted? We don't have a lot of strength. That's talking about when we're not doing the Ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We qualitatively, we're just not doing what we should be doing. On the other hand, when we do the Ratzon HaBorei, we become like those individuals that are unbelievable, that they're equal to thousands of people because of what they do. When we're Shomer Torah Mitzvahs, when we're there for the Tzibur, when we're participating and contributing, that is when we get to the end of the Pasuk. That's when we have this metamorphosis. Lo Yimad V'lo Yisaper. We can't be measured. We can't be counted. It's not on a qualitative basis. It's not on a quantitative basis, but it's on a qualitative basis that this pasuk is telling us about. And obviously, we should each of us strive to be such an individual that we can improve our quality qualitatively and indeed try to contribute that to Klal Yisrael so we can become invaluable individuals and invaluable as a kahal, as a kihil, as a tzibur that cannot be measured or cannot be counted. We are now moving forward to our last verse, to our number 5, same pasuk, and one of the Gedolei HaMusar, Chachmei HaMusar, says as follows, if you look in our pasuk, Klal Yisrael is compared to the Chol Hayam. We're compared to the sand at the sea. On the other hand, if you look in the Torah, there's another metaphor to Klal Yisrael, Kechochvei HaShemayim, we are compared to the stars in the heaven. And if you think about this, the concept here is to have a lot. There's a lot of sand, there's a lot of stars, but actually there's a significant difference between being compared to stars and being compared to the sand. And it goes as follows. When it comes to the stars, if you look up, each star is an individual. Each one is separate. Each is to himself. Each has its own character and personality. That is called individuality. And that is a very important characteristic of Klal Yisrael, that we have individuals that they can be themselves and they can act as themselves and can feel comfortable with themselves and they can have their own self-esteem as themselves and they can build themselves and use the qualities that HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the skills that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them. That is the comparison to the Kochvei HaShamayim. Separate. They're not touching. Each is independent and separate to itself. On the other hand, when it comes to the sand of the sea, the sand of the sea cannot exist as separate grains from one another. If you have just a grain of sand, it gets swept into the sea by the water. It cannot exist by itself. And the sand can only exist when it is aggregated together as a whole, as a glob, as a gush, as we'd say in Hebrew. That's the sand, the characteristic of sand. You can't be a grain by yourself. You need the tzibur together. You need a lot of sand together in order to withstand the pressure from the sea to take you away. And accordingly, we see that sea, S-E-E, not S-E-A here, we see then that the power of the Chol Hayam, the sand of the C-S-E-A, is when it is together as a tzibur. And accordingly, when it comes to Klal Yisrael, we need both of those dictates. We require individuals. We require individuals to be comfortable and to contribute what they are given and to act as an individual with their own personalities and their own gifts that they were given by themselves. That is the Kochvei HaShamayim. That is representing the stars of the heaven. But on the other hand, those kochavim, those individuals, cannot exist alone. They need to also have the aspect. Both aspects are required. They also have to have the aspect of kochvei hashamayim. They also have to have the aspect of the stars They also have to have the aspect of the sand. They also have to have the aspect of the chol hayam. That you can't always be an individual. You have to aggregate as a tzibur together. And both of those aspects are required for the individuals. It's not healthy if we're too much of an individual. It's not healthy if we're too much of a tzibur and we forget our individuality. So on an individual basis, we need both of that, this duality, and as a tzibur also, both of this is necessary. We have to remember that there's so much value in individuals, but there's also a value in those individuals coming together as a tzibur. Thanks so much for listening. Have a wonderful day.